Today's guests are the next generation set to lead one of New Hampshire's largest commercial printers. We talked to them about how their families have continued to invest in the business and what it takes to thrive as a commercial printer in a digital world. I'm Matt Mowry, co-publisher and executive editor of Business NH Magazine and Granite Media Group.
And I'm Christine Kerrigan, co-publisher of Business NH Magazine and chief creative officer for Granite Media Group. And welcome to BizCast NH.
I am so excited for today's interviews. So just to inform our listeners, today we are going to be talking to the folks that print Business New Hampshire magazine and have done so for decades. So we are excited to delve into this company because I think there's lots that we still don't know. And the other reason I'm geeking out is that I don't think you could ask for a better topic to geek out other than Star Wars for me than print. Because this is so weird. And you can laugh. You're the same way when it comes to graphics and fonts.
Of course. That's my background.
I mean, these are the two of us geeked out over the movie Helvetica.
And you know what? And I know you and I were going to maybe talk about our favorite fonts. And Helvetica is what I was going to bring up because that's one of my favorite fonts.
And why Helvetica?
Because it's a sans serif, so it's very just sort of, you know, it doesn't have the little feety things on anything, for the technical term for everybody, the little feet on all the letters. So it's a sans serif. But if you look at the capital R, it has a little swoop on the foot. And I just really like that. I like the little swoop on the capital R. If you look at the Target logo, you will see it.
I think we just lost half our audience.
I know. No,
that's okay.
I'm sorry.
Goodbye.
We'll see you next week.
Because I don't know why. I'm a Times New Roman guy. Mm-hmm. That's my go-to font. I find it clean. It's easy to read. I think it looks professional. Is there ever, ever a time for Comic Sans?
No.
Unless you're five, put it away, people.
That's right.
It doesn't need to be in there.
That's
Do not
right.
use it.
Yeah. And then we wouldn't even get started with papyrus. All right. We might want to move on.
I think we do. I think the other reason I'm excited is that I think, you know, I have been a print journalism my entire career, over 30 years. And I think my entire career I've heard the death knell ring for print. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And the reason is industries evolve. Mm-hmm. And we have evolved. And we've become a multimedia company, you know. Obviously, we've got podcasts, we have an e-newsletter, we have all kinds of, you know, our website presence. And yet the product that still is the flagship of our company that brings in the most revenue and is what we continue to be known for
is
Business
product.
New Hampshire Magazine, print magazine.
Yes.
So take that, all you naysayers. So let's dive into the world of print today.
Yes, let's
take us
do
away.
That. Today's guests are Chris and Sam Cummings and Jake Hamill of Cummings Printing, a 110-year-old commercial printer based in Hooksett. Chris Cummings and his brother Sam are the fourth generation of Cummings to lead the business. After graduating college in Florida with a degree in business management, Chris returned to New Hampshire and began a year-long training process at Cummings Printing, working in every department, including the press room, shipping, estimating, and invoicing, and eventually landing in sales. Sam started working at Cummings Printing in 2009 at 16 years old in the shipping department, boxing up magazines and building character, as his dad put it. After graduating from the University of Georgia with a degree in business finance, he lived in Atlanta for 2 years before returning to New Hampshire and rejoining the family business, spending months learning all of the various stages of production and administration. In February 2023, their father, Jack Cummings, retired and made his sons co-CEOs of the company. Jake Hamill is currently an account executive with Cummings Printing and is on the path to succeed his father, Mark, the current COO, when he retires. Jake also began his career at Cummings Printing when he was just 16 years old, helping out in the bindery and working his way up through the ranks at the company. So Sam, Chris, Jake, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So there's so much for us to dive into here, but first, this is a long storied company. I mean, four generations. That is almost unheard of. You know, most family businesses are lucky to survive to two, and then it's just diminishing returns from there in terms of passing that down through a family. So can you talk about when and who started Cummings and kind of what has been the history of this company?
So our great-grandfather actually started it in 1914.
And this is Sam?
Yes, this is Sam speaking. And even if you go far back, however many greats it takes to get back to the Civil War, that ancestor also was in print. So we're just bleeding ink right now at this point in time. But yeah, started in 1914, then it passed on to our grandfather, then father, then ourselves. This one.
And so can you talk a bit about the evolution of the business over all that time? Because what printing looks like today is nothing what resembled when this company started. So how has Cummings changed over the years to adapt to the times and the change in the industry?
Well, when it started way, way back in the day, it started with the old school press that I think it was Ben Franklin invented. We still have one actually in our lobby.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's a nice little conversation piece at this point in time when it was actually producing way back in the day.
It is pretty cool. I've seen it when I've been to the lobby. Yeah.
Yes. But today, with the evolution of just print in general, we're just really trying to become more efficient for our clients whenever we can, just because obviously with various things factoring into just increasing prices across the board, you know, really just trying to be that one-stop shop for our clients that they can provide excellent customer service as well as a fantastic product.
So let's talk about the scope of the company. You know, how big is the building you're in? What's the type of technology in it? How many employees? And how many different customers are you serving?
Hi, this is Chris. Right now, we're currently in around a little bit over 100,000 square feet facility. We have two heat-set web presses. One specializes in 32-page signatures, and one specializes in 16-page signatures. Currently have around 100 employees working three shifts. I think we have around 10 holidays throughout the whole year. But as far as machinery goes, we've really just tried to stay up to date and at the cutting edge of printing technology to try to give us that edge over our competitors. And I think that's what really helped us keep us in the game, one, and really help us take that leap over our competitors who kind of just saw it as only an investment and something to make you money, where we really saw it as our family heritage in a way. So we really wanted to invest for the future. And my grandfather, my father really set, oh, sorry, I shouldn't say my grandfather. My father really set us up. My grandfather didn't really set up my dad too well. But right now we were given the company, it's doing the best it's ever done. And we're looking to continue that.
Another thing, talking about the upgrades as well, that we had a Toshiba press that we did a little over $1 million investment into it just to upgrade it, just to get it up to 21st century standards and whatnot of the time. And actually, we're considering doing the same thing with our other press, as well as doing the same thing with our binders as well, just to help with the efficiency that we're constantly trying to achieve.
Can you talk a little bit about the scope of projects that you guys will print? Because obviously for us, we think Business New Hampshire Magazine, you're printing magazines. And that's kind of where, you know, sometimes your mind stops. But Jake, can you talk a little bit about the different scope of products that Cummings produces?
Yeah. So we're all over the place. We've really dove into this past year or two into schools, a lot of alumni magazines that you'd be seeing. But a lot of business to business, your little niche projects like in Vermont, you got Berkshire Magazine, Vermont Magazine, Burlington Magazine. And then again, you're business to business. So you have Elevator World, a magazine that's completely all elevators and anything you need to know about that. So we're very broad in that. Anything we'll take on in terms of print. But I think a real big position that we're trying to take moving forward is these alumni magazines, college printing. We see that as something that, you know, will never go away. Like you were alluding to, Matt, that print's traditionally been kind of on a downhill slope, per se, the last 20, 15 years. But we don't see that in the future being for like the schools and certain niche, you know, prints.
And what is your... What is your footprint? Are you printing for maybe schools across the country? Are you more New England based?
Yeah, I mean, just like anything, I think, in business that I've learned, and I think we've all have learned, is keeping it in your backyard obviously helps out a lot. It gets you that person-to-person meeting a lot better, which I think helps in business. They can come, view on press, meet the people that are actually, you know, doing the work on the day-to-day, which I think is a nice piece to it, but also the shipping. And postage. I'm sure everyone who's in listening to this is into this, but that's really been a big killer to our industry. So we are trying to keep a lot of things more New England based to kind of offset that in a way, because, you know, we might be a great printer for California, but, you know, the ship point to there just might be what we lose that business on, because somebody who is much closer just can save a lot more money by driving it down the road than we can getting it out there. And I think in our business too, turnaround time is huge. So just taking that 3 days to get to the other side of the country might be the make it or break it. But obviously we're all open for business across the country. But I think definitely keeping it in New England in your backyard kind of is a good business model.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the trends that have been shaping the industry? I have to imagine at this point, it's a very competitive industry. Have you seen a lot of competitors go by the wayside? Have you seen a lot of mergers and acquisitions? And what does that mean for how you have to compete in this industry?
So I could probably speak to that one. Obviously, the larger size magazines like the Better Homes and Gardens, things like that, they have had a hit recently with just their run sizes overall. So it has actually affected those larger printers like Quad and so on and so forth like that. However, with our smaller run size that we typically specialize in, because we typically specialize in anywhere between 3,000 to 300,000, and with those run sizes, we haven't really seen much. However, with those larger providers starting to have some more issues with them, we have gladly accepted all of their clients. And from that, I really just think that our niche that we have achieved is actually been very beneficial for us, and it seems like a pretty healthy market, at least from our perspective.
And to go off what Sam said, there has been a few acquisitions and mergers. I'm pretty sure it was CGK or...
an acronym that we're probably messing up.
It was an acronym that just took over a pretty big south, printer in the Midwest South. And there was also a lot of the printers have gone by the wayside. A lot of those smaller sheet-fed printers that didn't invest into their machinery, and once the COVID hit, they had to lose half their workforce. And then with the clients as well leaving, they just didn't have the financial backing to keep them afloat. So unfortunately, a lot of the smaller guys, where we are a little, I know we call ourselves small guys, but we're really in that medium range.
Right.
We were able to have that financial backing to keep us in the game.
I think a big thing too that I've learned talking to a lot of people in the industry is the that Cummings is dedicated to the future, with obviously Chris and Sam taking over from their dads at such a young age. I think across wide in the business, people are drawn to that because a lot of the other printers that are around or big names in the game, that succession plan kind of isn't there and it isn't broadcasted. And a lot of the thing is, if this happens, then what's going to happen to that whole business? If this guy leaves, is it over, basically? Where I think Cummings... The good card for us to pull with clients is, you know, we are here for the future, you know, two 25-year-old, 29-year-old CEO, 30-year-old.
There it is.
CEOs.
Milestone birthday in the desert.
So I think that's a big thing that separates us without, you know, even getting down to the nuts and bolts of printing a magazine. I think people are drawn to, you know, a company that's bought in and ready for the future.
Well, let's talk about that. So it's not everyone that wants to go into the family business. And you are, you know, younger guys. You have all kinds of options that you could have gone down. What for each of you was a factor for going into the family business? And did you always see yourself doing that? Or did you have different aspirations and then found yourself drawn back into the family business? How's that?
Uniquely, I think we all have our own different stories, but I can start for first. And I always kind of knew I was going to go back to the family business. I always loved the way my dad had his life with the company as well as his life away from the company. He was always able to make it to all my sports games and different athletic ventures I went down, which really meant a lot to me. And I kind of wanted to have that same similar life growing up. If I ever have kids, I want to be able to take that hour from work or 2 hours from work that he was able to do and go watch them and do all those fun things. But as for the family aspect of it, it doesn't really hit you. Like I keep telling Sam, the CIRM CEO, when I say that out loud as a 26-year-old, it still doesn't hit me, and it's still, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, you all, how you deal with all that weight on your shoulders? And it seems not like it's there yet because I'm not 35 and fully indulged into the career path, but I'll let Jake tell you.
Yeah, so mine's a little different than theirs. We've all obviously ended up where we're at, and we're all very happy, which is the best part. So I started working there, and I was 15 and a half, 16. My dad's been there for years, as you all know. My grandfather worked there as a production manager of some sort. I think titles over the years have all changed. But
so you've had three generations of your family working there.
Yeah, so it's my mother's father started it all, and then my uncles worked there, and then my dad moved here from New York, met my mom, needed a job, and went from there. So my grandfather and Chris and Sam's grandfather were close, kind of worked side by side for years, and then when Chris's grandfather, I think, passed away or, you know, gave up the reins to Jack, I forget the exact timeline, Jack was just like them, a young CEO, 20-something, and kind of looked around the plant and saw my dad, the only other 20-year-old face in the plant, and was like, oh, hey, you know, let's do this. So what separated them from us is that they never knew each other before 25 or 24. So they kind of met each other and grew together, which we are all, you know, known each other since we've been born, really. I tell people all the time, it's hard to, how long have you known them? I'm like, you know, I don't know, you know, when the date that we met, but I'm sure it was sometime when we were in diapers. But yeah, for me personally, never, ever, ever, ever thought I was going to come back. Working with your dad in a different way, Chris, you know, saw a lot of Chris and Sam different with their dad than with my dad. He's there. More of the time, he's kind of more of the bad cop, if there was a bad cop, good cop, bad cop. So I had a different, you know, vision of it. But then I went to college, you kind of grow up a little bit. You fall in love with, you know, the Cummings family, Jack, the way he's treated my family for years, falling in love with our camaraderie between me and Chris and Sam. So, you know, you take out the, this is just a job, and you kind of dive into the whole, you know, want to do this together as a family, basically. And whatever this would have been, I think whatever the Cummings name, for me personally, whatever name there would have been on, I would have tried to work there. You know what I mean? So it happened to be magazines. It wasn't like I was, you know, had that on my sights. But for me personally, it was just falling in love with the family and trying to go from there.
That's great.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. Are you looking for quality networking in a fun environment? Join Business NH Magazine for the return of the ultimate Biz NH Bash at the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center in Concord on March 28th. Meet leaders from New Hampshire's 2023 Top 100 Private Companies, Top Women-Led Businesses, Top Family-Owned Businesses, and New Hampshire's Startup Stars, plus the 40 influential leaders in New Hampshire as featured in the January issue of Business NH Magazine. Enjoy delicious appetizers and cocktails, explore museum exhibits, take fun photos in our photo booth, and mingle with the stars of New Hampshire business while gazing at the stars. For more information, visit businessnhmagazine.com/events. Sponsored by Merchants Fleet, Northeast Delta Dental, Unitil, Ledyard Bank, Eversource, and UHY Advisors. Buy local at the 27th Annual Made in New Hampshire Try It and Buy It Expo on April 5th, 6th, and 7th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Expo Center in downtown Manchester. Browse a dazzling array of locally made products and sample tons of tasty treats. Purchase fine jewelry, clothing and accessories, bath and body products, handcrafted items for the home, one-of-a-kind art pieces, and more. And you'll be supporting local businesses. And don't forget to say hello to all the rescue animals at Live and Let Live Farm. Swing by the libation station to sample and buy wine, beer, mead, and spirits all made in the Granite State. So bring the entire family to the Made in New Hampshire Try It and Buy It Expo at the DoubleTree by Hilton Expo Center on April 5th, 6th, and 7th. You won't believe what's made in New Hampshire. For more information or to apply to be a vendor, visit madeinnhexpo.com. Sponsored by Northeast Delta Dental and Business NH Magazine. And we're back. And so, Chris and Jake, you just told us your stories about what brought you back into the business. Sam, why don't you tell us a little bit about yours?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to compete with Jake on that one, to be honest. No, so when I first graduated from University of Georgia, I stayed down there for a little bit and worked a couple different jobs. And I mostly, at that point in time, I didn't know if I wanted to go back to Cummings Printing. I kind of wanted to see what I could do on my own and kind of, I guess, test my merit in a way. And really just see what else was out there.
So what did you do?
Oh, so I worked some lovely jobs. one was a freight brokerage broker. That job was terrible. I was a salesman for a tech company as well. And I also was a regional manager for a grocery chain. So worked the whole gamut and I did everything. I got promoted. I got fired. I got let go. I had the whole gamut with only within a couple of years. But after I got to a certain point, I kind of just had the feeling that it wasn't right. I can't really put my finger on it. Just in my soul, it wasn't quite right. And I just wanted to be back home, back home with family and everything like that. And I really felt that at that point in my life that I was ready to start getting back into the family business. I feel like I earned the position more, if that makes sense. And yeah, ever since I've come back, it's been fantastic. It's absolutely been fantastic. Obviously, had little hiatuses with the Army National Guard.
I was going to say, can you talk about what drew you to join the Army National Guard?
And, no, it's classified.
And, to the extent that it is a classified, where did it take you?
So I joined the Army National Guard, I think it was 5 years ago now. I joined personally a number of reasons. My grandfather passed away and he also served. I also was hitting 25, a little bit of a quarter life crisis. And I'm also an incredibly fortunate individual. And I was kind of feeling like life was giving me so much. I wanted to give some back, but also help protect the people and things that have made my life such an incredible one. Yeah, I definitely wanted to do something like that. And those are the reasons why I did join. But on the adventures that I've gone on just doing that, basic training was in Georgia. I did plenty of training up here in New Hampshire, went to New York to shoot rockets, went to Oklahoma, shot cannons out there, just training on how to be an artillery officer. And I recently just came back 2 weeks ago from a deployment where I went to Kuwait, Jordan, and Qatar. And I was able to build bonds with fantastic guys in our battery and our battalion, as well as with other people from other various nations. And some of the experience out there, they're wild, but it was incredible. They're incredible experiences.
So is there anything that you learned being in the National Guard that you think you can take back to being CEO of Cummings?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the Army does a great job with teaching what to try and be a selfless leader. That is one of the biggest things. And they try and emphasize, no matter how much time or how much things you have on your plate, always try and spend the time to go see how your guys are doing. Just check in on them all the time and everything like that. But also just overall, just management of people overall. Because obviously in the Army National Guard, you're getting people from all sorts of walks of life. I mean, I remember when I was in basic training, one of my good friends was actually a Crip from San Antonio. Never in my life would I ever expect to be friends with someone like from that background. But I mean, you really just find out that people are just people. That deep down, they're just people just trying to do the best for themselves. And they all have pretty much the basic wants, desires, and everything like that.
So this is a question I ask all of our family business people, which is, I love my family dearly. Don't think we could work together. what has it been like to work with your fathers as you're learning the business and taking over the reins? And what are some of the most valuable lessons you gleaned from them that you think will help prepare you for your taking over as you take over the company and take it to the next level over the next few years?
Yeah, I can start. So working with my dad, unfortunately, I got in the business a little bit later than Sam or Jake. So when I saw my dad, he wasn't in the full work capacity that he was when he started. He was kind of...
First step of retirement.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. First step of retirement. So I never really saw him do his day-to-day things. He saw him come in every day and work in his office and go downstairs and have that good, I don't know if I'm fitting the word, but... Rapport with all the employees. They all loved him, all would glow up when they saw him. And but I never really worked that closely with him. I've definitely worked more closely with Mark Hamill as a mentor teacher, and he's been an absolute wealth of knowledge and has really helped me become more confident. Not saying I'm the most confident, but more confident in my day-to-day work activities when talking to clients or talking to suppliers or talking about potential deals or new machinery. So Mark's definitely really helped mold me into the person that I want to become when it becomes a CEO. Obviously, I want to have my dad's side being really personable with all the employees and having them enjoy me as much as they enjoyed my dad. As far as working with Sam and Jake, Jake's a little bit obviously different than my brother in the sense that we're not blood related, but we've really grown quite close over the last 10 months when Sam's been gone, always just hanging out with each other after work, bouncing ideas off of each other, thinking about new ways to improve processes that have gone to the wayside for decades upon decades. So it's been really fun to work with Jake because we're both very young and both have these crazy ideas. Can't see I'm doing the hyphens, but
the quote marks.
Yeah, the quote marks that some people that have been there for 30 years couldn't even imagine it happening, and now we're doing it. And then Sam, we were work for a little bit less than, 1 month before Dad retired?
Month and a half.
Like a month and a half. So I'm really excited to see the new dynamic. Sam's more sales-oriented than I am. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love talking to clients. But cold calling is just not my favorite thing, where Sam can literally talk to anyone. And I'm definitely more production-focused, so I think Sam and I will have a very good yin and yang kind of deal as we brave forward into the future. But I think we got a very good future in front of us.
Yeah, I guess before I go, I would need a double of Casamigos and a box of tissues. But yeah, no, for me, I guess a big thing that I've learned growing up in a family business is, I guess, the respect that you give your fathers now becoming, I'm married now, you know, children in a family are on the horizon. So you see life a lot differently, a lot more responsibilities, and to see a guy, you know, go do it 30 years in a row, 38 years in a row, every day, and not blink. You know, I think that's the biggest credit that I could say to my dad that we've learned is just every scenario that comes up, you know, you have 100 people that work under you. So you have scenarios that are crazy that, you know, arise every day that get brought to, you know, a management position's desk. And without a blink, every single day, no matter what it is, he's there, he's got it. If he doesn't know it, he's going to find it out. So I think I gained a lot more respect over the last couple of years than I had in those first couple of years with my father. But also I think it's given poor my wife, my sister, and my mom, but, you know, we talk about it all the time. So I think a big part of my growth here is having that constant, you know, person that in a sense has all the answers. I would never say that to his face, only on this podcast. But because he'll never listen to this because he doesn't listen to the podcast. But yeah, no, I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned is just the respect of somebody who grinds. My dad treats his company like it's his own money, his own sweat. So that's something that I definitely want to emulate for sure. Maybe in a different way, but
sure.
Definitely the core.
The 21st mindset.
Yeah.
The 21st century mindset.
Yeah, definitely the core of it all has definitely been something to learn from for sure.
He's giving you that baseline to kind of build off of.
Yeah, and it's, you know, something that you can't spell out, you can't hammer into someone's head, but just watching these scenarios that arise. And again, you know, me and Chris, Sam as well, but Sam, this last year, all these scenarios have kind of happened. So sometimes they come to your desk and me and Chris will look at each other like, you know, with that wide-eyed, you know, deer in the headlights and been like, what do we do? Where my dad's probably done this 4 times in the last 30 years and that each decision they've made have ripple effects on it. So he already kind of has a little bit of a rule book of, okay, if we go this way, this might happen. If we go this way, this has happened in the past, and kind of give it on Chris to make the final decision. But it's just nice to have all that experience and someone that you see at dinner and you see on the weekends and stuff. So you'd kind of have to be a fool not to take all the information you can now at this point.
Oh, well, I probably starting off with my dad. He's got a very more, much more of a laissez-faire kind of easygoing way to do his leadership, where I can be a little more intense, and the Army definitely pound that into me. They love the intensity of it. But just to realize as well that there's so many different ways that you can do it. There's so many different ways you can skin the cat with that as well. That was definitely a good growing experience. And another big thing too is just realizing that, I hate to admit it, but the guy's right a lot. All his advice and everything like that.
He now has right. A record of that.
Yes.
Also, we'll never listen to this.
Of course. They're Prince guys.
Exactly.
They haven't hit the podcast world.
But yes, like to just the maturity of realizing that maybe you should listen to the elders every now and again. But yes, even when we first started taking over the office and whatnot, Chris and I butted heads like any brothers do or whatnot, but I feel like you need that, you know? You don't want to have yes men. You don't want to have the exact same ideas with everything moving forward. But I feel like if you have that kind of, like Chris mentioned before, yin and yang back and forth, and the good mix of ideas, that's the best way to come to the best solution, or at least a good solution, because, I mean, that's the best. That's what we're just trying to do at the end of the day.
So how are the three of you dealing with this change in how you relate to one another? It's one thing, I mean, you all grew up together, obviously two of your brothers, but you all grew up together. And how do you, you know, but now you're in these leadership positions of leading this company together, having to work together. And how do you make sure you're drawing from the strengths of those bonds and relationships? How do you make sure that some of the other stuff that comes from those relationships doesn't get into the way of the business? How are you adjusting to this new way of relating to one another?
So I could probably speak to that one. These guys have done a great job with being able to like just sit down and like we all just take a breath. I'm like, okay, we need to explain our ideas, really just get this all everything out. Because obviously there's a little pride and ego that gets in there. You just got to put it off to the side. And I think that we've done a fantastic job with being able to put that to the side and actually listen to the other people and try and at least stand in their shoes for a little bit. And I think that has led to tremendous successes and improvements throughout the company.
So you've learned from your fathers and grandfathers and previous generations. And to take a little sidebar too, a lot of the employees at Cummings are very long-term employees as well, which I think is a testament to the leadership that's been at the organization for so long. But with everything that you've learned from past generations, where do you three of you see taking Cummings in the future? What's kind of the next step for the organization?
The next step is really just continuing what we've been doing. We're definitely not going to, I'm not going to say on here that we're going to go out and buy 3 new presses and expand the company another 100,000 square feet, because that's just not realistic anymore. But I can tell you what is realistic is us being around for as long as Sam and I are around until we have kids, because I know I do, and I know Sam does take tremendous amount of pride in what we do and what we've accomplished over the last 110 years. And kind of like what Matt said initially in the podcast, that second generation a little bit less, third generation a little bit less. So now somehow we've made it to the fourth generation, and it's with a heavy heart that I'm saying that I don't want to be the one that sinks this ship, and I will
no
not.
No pressure,
have it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I would say to myself. No pressure, but you're 26 and you got this industry that's slowly declining. And like you said too, Matt, there's always the imminent death of print, but I still don't see it. Our numbers don't really see it. Obviously, there's a little bit of a decline, but not something that we are trying to figure out new business models or strategies to go about. We're going to stay in our lane, continue to do publication printing for the rest of the time of Cummings Printing has, for sure.
And you do have digital offerings as well. Yes. In addition, I know that we've taken advantage of that with Business New Hampshire. Is that you
the
do
ZMAG?
Yes, you offer a digital offer component
ZMAGs
as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess to tie in both of your questions, I think a big part that I think as a bonus of all the years of friendship and growing up together is when you're in these meetings and these ideas are sung, I think the filter is gone. Where I think I've sat in meetings before where you might see someone, you know, you see their look, you see that they have something on the top of their tongue that they just don't feel comfortable enough to say it. And what if that idea, you know, resonates in Chris or Sam's eyes and they say, oh, I never thought of it that way. That actually changes my opinion. I should do it this day and this way. So I think somewhere, obviously, Sam's been gone for this year, but this would just like when Sam was back. But for me and Chris, especially this last year, I think it's just when you shut that door and you're just friends at the end of the day and you just spit it back and forth the way you see it, as clear as you can see it. And then I might hit a string that Chris didn't think of. Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't think of it that way. Then he might hit a string that, oh, I didn't think of it that way. So I think for me personally, the friendship that we've all had benefits us because you have six eyes on it now and there's no filters in terms of what if, like, I don't have that feeling if I say this to Chris, he's going to be mad at me. You know, he might, but I don't have that feeling, you know what I mean? Like, just to not say it, where I think other people in other industries might, you know, if they don't have that, that's just my opinion, if they don't have that bond, that some real conversations might not come to fruition because you have that little bit of hold back or filter. So I would just say moving forward the way we've done it and moving forward, I think everything is going to be nice to have, you know, three people that you know have your back, have the same goal in mind, aren't going to trip you up if you say something that they don't agree in or whatever. But that's my opinion on the positives of a family business.
And so I want to end on, there's obviously family lore that both your fathers have probably passed down. From what you can recollect, what have been some of the biggest challenges they faced that you've been able to learn from? And as you move forward, what do you see as the biggest challenge you may be facing?
So when my dad first took over the Cummings Printing, it was failing. So that was definitely the biggest challenge that he saw when he first took it over.
And do you know what was key to him?
It was failing because they weren't up with the times, I'm pretty sure, right, Sam?
Yes, they weren't investing so much in their machinery and just misallocation of resources as well. And the overall just attitude of the company, employees all the way through just weren't, they weren't really feeling valued and they didn't value their products that they were actually delivering. Where my dad has completely turned that upside down. And one of the biggest investments he made was in the presses, where he actually bought new presses for it and made tremendous amount of investments, even when people were saying exactly what you were saying earlier, where, oh, print's dead. And this was I think he was saying this probably 25 years ago to him, and he still made that investment. And it's found out that that investment has been fantastic. And to echo what he's been doing, we continuously want to invest in our machinery, make sure we're at the cutting edge of this, and make sure that we're still taking pride in the products that we're delivering for our clients, and make sure that that pride is in not just Chris and I and Jake's, but all the way down through production, all the way down to the shipping department. And that's really what we can take away, I would say, from past generations.
Yeah, and I think a big thing too is no matter what, who's on top, that I've learned in any business, you work for that guy. So I think something that I'm sure the boys, Chris and Sam here, are going to try to emulate with their father is, you know, people worked for him. They could have been doing anything, but they wanted to work for him. So I think that is something that is looked upon highly at Cummings, where, you know, everyone just did this job and fell in love with it because they liked the person they were working for and it was just another job. So I think going forward, that's something big that we want to keep harping on, is we want people to want to be there and want to work together. And no matter what we do, we're working together. So I think that's big.
Well, I think that's great. I think we've had as Matt mentioned at the beginning, a very long relationship with Cummings. We hope to continue that for many, many years to come. But for today, we're going to be wrapping it up. And I'd like to thank again Chris and Sam Cummings and Jake Hamill from Cummings Printing in Hooksett. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed the stories and information you heard on today's podcast, find more by subscribing to Business NH Magazine or visiting businessnhmagazine.com. I'm Matt Mowry.
And I'm Christine Kerrigan. BizCast NH is a production of Granite Media Group.